You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
Please do sit down, everyone. I want to read the first two verses again of our second reading, and I want to ask you, do you think you're involved in these verses? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, those two verses are obviously about Christmas, God sending his Son into the world, God giving his one and only Son. Let me ask, do you see yourself involved in those verses in some way? Is Christmas just something that we celebrate, which is nice, but fairly distant? Is Jesus just somebody back then, back there? What relevance does Jesus have in your life today, this Christmas? Of course, at Christmas, we celebrate, don't we, God's loving gift. It is an extraordinary thing, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God so loved the world. That phrase, the world, there means a world that's turned away from God, a world that's rebelled against God, a world that has sinned, and it involves every single one of us. I remember the first time I put my name in that verse, and you might like to join me in doing this. I left a gap there. I'll read it with my name. Because Bob Marsden is a sinner. I'm a sinful rebel. I've turned away from God. I've broken his laws. I've not loved him as I should have done. I remember the first time I put my name in this verse. For God so loved Bob Marsden that he gave his one and only Son, that as Bob Marsden believes in him, Bob Marsden shall not perish, but have eternal life. So right at the start of this talk, I want to make it personal for us, each one of us. I want to put your name there. Young and old, for God so loved that he gave his one and only Son, that as believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this involves every single one of us. But it's not automatic, is it, that we receive God's love? God's love in his giving his Son. Giving his Son is there in the sense of giving in sacrifice. We remember Jesus' birth at Christmas, but at Easter he dies on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. It's not automatic, isn't it, that as Bob Marsden believes in him, Bob Marsden shall not perish, but have eternal life. Perish there is being separated from God forever, receiving the judgment for sin. Have eternal life, the words eternal life there means knowing God. It doesn't just mean life going on and on forever, but it's life knowing God and his Son Jesus. This side of heaven, that's in a world of sin and pain and suffering, mucked up. Far side of heaven, far side of death, it's in heaven, in a world that has no pain or suffering or death or tears. Fantastic verse, isn't it? This verse reminds us of our great need verse 17, the next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And at Christmas, we remember the God's loving gift of Jesus as the gift that shows up our great need and problem. And I've got one or two gifts that do that. And I need some volunteers to come and help me just pick out the gifts from their wrappers. I need some good, somebody straight up. Okay, here's the first one, all right? And can you hold it up? Oh, what is it? Can you hold it up? And you need to hold it up, all right? Turn it round, okay, like that. Hold it up. What's it say? Slimming, the recipe book. Well done, young man. You can sit down, okay? All right? Now, if you get this tomorrow, you know you've got a problem. And let me say, I have received this kind of gift. I know, it's obvious, I know. All right, we're doing pretty well at the moment. All right, so there's one gift. A gift that shows up a real problem, a real need that we've got. Anybody else want to come up? I've got quite a few. Yeah, come on. Hey, come on. Here we go. All right, here's another gift, okay? Okay, what's that? Do you want to hold that up? They might not be able to see it. Hold up like that. A packet of odor eaters. All right, well done. That's not the kind of gift you'll receive, but I have received that gift. All right, for smelly trainers. You've got a problem. And here's a gift to sort it out. Okay, anybody else? How about another one? Good, come on. All right, do you want to see what's in there? Okay, do you want to hold it up? Now, oh, look. Listerine. Well done. Now, this is now marketed and sold as teeth and gum defense. In the old days, this was for bad breath. All right? And I have received this as a gift. All right? Okay, any others? Right, anybody else? Let's have any more? One more. Come on. Okay. All right, okay. Here we go. Can you... Look at that. Yes. Antiperspirant, antibacterial odor protection. All right. I've received that as a gift. Okay. All right. I've got three others, but we'll leave them. One was a bit too near the bone, actually. I didn't even do it at the first service, but then somebody came and had a look afterwards, see what it was. All right. Do you really want to know what that one is? Okay, here we go. All right. Now, this one I didn't do. Let's say, here we go. If you get given this tomorrow, zero grey. I've got a lot of grey hair. This would make me medium blonde. There you are. Okay. On a serious point, here is the gift that shows up our great need and problem. Verse 17 of this reading says that each one of us needs to be saved. We need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from our sin back into a right relationship with God. That's why Jesus comes. He's not just somebody who's sent into this world by God to show us how to live. He's come, as verse 17, to rescue us. Our real need, our real problem, is to be rescued back into a right relationship with God, with our sins forgiven. That's what Jesus does when he dies on the cross, which we remember at Easter. Our great need. But then also this verse picks up a simple response. It is extraordinarily easy to receive this gift. This gift that really kind of pokes our pride, doesn't it? It says, you've got a problem. In verse 18, it says this. Whoever believes in him, it's that simple, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So all that's required is to believe in God's one and only Son, in Jesus. Now, that belief is not just belief that he existed back then in time. The belief there is something slightly different. And I use this as an illustration at the first one, but somebody's actually improved it. I will come to that in a moment. I love to talk about this guy, Charles Blondin, who was in the 1850s was a tightrope walker, and his great act was to walk across on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. And he attracted huge crowds. These 30,000, 40,000 would crowd on the banks. And he did various things. He went across with a wheelbarrow on one occasion. He cooked an egg, actually, once in the middle. Got a little cooker out and cooked an egg and did various things. And he once said to the crowds, once he'd done it once, "Do you believe that I can carry a man across the Niagara Falls on my back?" And all the crowd said, "Yes, yes, Charles, Mr. Blondin, you're the great Mr. Blondin. Of course you can do that." And so he then said, he then invited them to believe by trusting him, by trusting their life to him. Do you believe it in that sense? Not just that he could do it, but would they actually trust their life to him? And that's the sense in which that in John 3, the belief there is a personal dependence, a personal trust. If you like, my allegiance is to Jesus every day. My loyalty is to him. I depend on him. And this man believed by trusting his life to Blondin to carry him. He was the first person who did it. It was actually Blondin's manager who did it first time. So he had a bit of flesh in the game, so to speak, to do it. But a number of other people actually went with him. Now, in fact, as somebody pointed out, I mean, that's a great illustration of what it really means to believe that you personally trust and depend on Jesus. But actually, somebody pointed out to me, actually, any one of these problem gifts, you know, you're not going to get rid of your bad breath unless you have some Listerine. You can believe it will do the job, but you've got to receive it, take it. And that's the point with this verse. The belief in Jesus is not just an intellectual thing. It is a personal trust, a personal dependence on him. We'll think a bit more about that in a moment. But let's sing again of the Lord of love. See him lying on a bed of straw. Let's stand to sing. God's loving gift, we've just sung about the Lord of love, the great need that we have, and a very simple response. But I also want us just to think about the Lord Jesus as God's revealing light, God's revealing light. Again, it says in that verse, those verses, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, light has come into the world. That is absolutely wonderful. We have a great need, the light that reveals God. I meet people who say, well, I don't really know what God is like. I don't really know what God wants. We're not in the dark about God, friends. He's made himself known through sending his one and only Son into the world. The light that reveals God, what God is like. What he wants, that he loves people who've mucked up, like each one of us, who've turned away from him. And everything that we need to know about God is there in the person of his Son. So it's absolutely fantastic. Great, great news. A great need. The light that reveals God. But these verses also talk about a sad response. A sad response. This is the light that reveals what our hearts are like. What our hearts are like. And I want to illustrate this by, I've got two bowls, one with chocolate coins in, and one with, I think they're Haribo's Chewy. All right? And I want any young person to come up, and I might even offer them to some adults. And you've got a choice that reveals what your heart is like. All right? What is your heart like? What does your heart want? You're going to choose one thing, all right? Either a chocolate coin or a Haribo. So any young person wants to come up and come and get them, all right? Yep, come on. All right? So which is it going to be? Which have it? Oh, Haribo Chewy. All right? Come on. This is fascinating. I thought that the chocolate coins would be most favorite, but look at that. Oh, that's 3-1. Come on. What do you want? You sure? Or do you want a chocolate coin? You can choose one or the other. All right, okay. Good. Neve, hello. Chocolate coin. Come on. You got a choice? What are you going to choose? Oh, your heart is divided. What are you going to choose? Just choose one. It's too good, isn't it? Good, there you are. There you are, brilliant. All right, okay. A choice. What does our heart want? What does our heart want? Let me read these verses again. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's fantastic, isn't it? The light that shows us what God is like. The light that comes to meet our great need, to save us. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Let me illustrate that. Imagine this rather mundane bedside light. There's the light of the world. The light has come into the world. How fantastic that is. That God in his love should send his one and only son into this world to rescue us back into a right relationship with himself, to forgive our sins when he dies on the cross, and so on. Here's the light of the world. Light has come into the world, but men and women loved darkness the choice of our hearts the choice of our hearts It is extraordinary, isn't it, when you think what God has done, that so few people put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation that he offers. He came to rescue. They'd prefer to live in darkness. They turn away from him. Now, why is that? Just think about that. Why is that? Well, it may be that you don't think that you need to be rescued, that your sin is not that serious. It may be that you don't know enough. I've got a solution for that at the end about who this Jesus is. But actually, it's very clear. It says men and women love darkness because they don't want their deeds exposed. They'd rather carry on living with themselves in charge and effectively ignoring God. And yet this is God's one and only Son that he sent into the world. And the invitation is, come to the light. Come to the light. Come to the light. Don't hide in the darkness. The Lord Jesus has come in to deal with our greatest need, our greatest problem, to rescue us back into a right relationship with God, with our sins forgiven. Just put your name there again. See, it's not automatic to receive this loving gift, to respond in the right way. It's not automatic. For God so loved, put your name there, that he gave his one and only Son, that as you believe in him, you shall not perish but have eternal life. Are you trusting Jesus this Christmas? Don't hide in the darkness. Come to the light. Come to the light by believing on him, trusting him. Not in the sense that he lived way back then, but that I actually live day by day, trusting him, thanking him that he came into the world to save me and living for him. It may be that somebody says, well, I don't really know enough about this Jesus to make that kind of commitment. Come to the light, find out more. We love to help people at this church to find out more. We run a course, Christianity Explored. There are cards on the seats. One's red, one's this type. They're just picking up the same thing. It's a very informal course that we run, just looking at the person of Jesus, who he is, why he came, why it's so important to respond to him rightly, to put one's trust in him. And we run this course in the lounge. It's very informal, very relaxed. Opportunity to ask as many questions as people like. We'd love to see some people on that. Starts in the middle of January. And there's lots of material on the table at the back. I want to commend people a gospel, if people haven't read a gospel as an adult. So it's extraordinary, isn't it? That so many adults have not read a gospel account of the life of Jesus. The most important news that there is. And just at the back as well, maybe that you want to watch something, there's a little DVD here called Believable. Belief in Jesus is so important. So do take those. They're on the table at the back.